This morning, we're going to be teaching from the Gospel of Luke. And we're reminded here that Isaiah prophesied about the ministry of the Messiah, the deliverer of Israel. He was going to come and he was going to do a number of things. The prophecy is important for us today because Jesus Christ is the Messiah and his ministry continues through his church. And that means that the blessings that Christ brought to the people in his time continue for us today. We tend to look back at things and put them into categories and say, well, that was then and this is now. No, now is Christ. You know, Christ is the risen Savior, so therefore he's alive to do and carry out his covenant, to carry on his ministry. So let's read from the Gospel of Luke, the fourth chapter, beginning at the 16th verse. Jesus, let's read it. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. So what we find here is that Jesus is coming back to his hometown. He's the hometown boy. He has just come from Bethesda where he has worked all kinds of miracles. And now he's coming back to Nazareth where he was raised. They know him there. And it was a custom that he had that he would go to the synagogue on the Sabbath and he would read in that synagogue. And so he's carrying out what he normally does. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, it was interesting when I read this passage, two things began to just work in me here. First of all, I went to Isaiah, and when I looked at Isaiah 61, and beginning at verse 1, I saw that Jesus stopped before the end of the verse. Because the next verse would say that he came to bring the vengeance, the day of vengeance. He didn't say that. He stopped. And then I thought, I wonder why he cut off the verse. And then I realized there weren't any verses in those days. We didn't have a Bible with a verse. We had the books, but we didn't have verses in it. And what he did was he came to say what he came to do in this first part of his ministry. See, he's coming again. And the rest of that prophecy will be fulfilled that's in Isaiah. But nevertheless, that's where he stopped. And I want to talk about what he said here. For he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." And I want to talk about anointing for just a moment. Just a moment. Anointed, Mashiach. To anoint, it's to rub with oil, to especially in order to consecrate or dedicate someone or something, like they dedicated the priests and the kings in the Old Testament through anointing with oil. In particular, they were installed in their offices by anointing. So they rubbed oil on them or they pour oil on them. And that basically was with the prayer and of the people. And then they were put into the place where they were going to minister. And the most important derivative of Mashiach is Mashiach, which means Messiah. So that's where we get the word Messiah from in the Old Testament, or the Anointed One. As Jesus was and is promised, the promised Anointed One, his title came to be Jesus the Messiah. So here was Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One had come, and we could obvious of the anointing on him by what he did, the work that he did, the healing, the restoration of people, the hope he gave to these people that were downtrodden. He healed the sick. He encouraged them with the word of God. He worked miracles amongst them. He fed them miracles of food, miracles of blindness restored. And he challenged the orthodoxy of the day, that is the understanding that the Jews had with reference to the understanding of their scriptures and Moses. And he just took on all of these Pharisees and scribes and just straightened them right out. They had taken the word of God and made it what they wanted to make it. And they took dominion over the people by doing that. The people were literally afraid of them. So basically the Messiah, the word Messiah, Mashiach, was translated into Greek. And you know what the word is in Greek? Christos. So when we say Jesus Christ, we are saying Jesus, the anointed one, the one that has been set forth by the Father. So basically, consecrating Jesus, Jesus was saying that he was consecrated to the messianic office. And he was given all of the authority and the power that came with that anointing. And we read what that power was, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Good news to the poor. Listen, God hasn't forgotten you because you're poor. He knows where you're at. He loves you. He basically gave them hope. Heaven was open for them, whether they could give a few pennies or not. It didn't matter. What mattered was that they would know God and love him. He talked about healing the brokenhearted and proclaiming liberty, freedom. You know, liberty is a big thing for us in America. And liberty means to have the ability to choose, the license to live, the freedom from any kind of bondage. That's an amazing thing, liberty. And we're told not to use it wrongly. So I want to let you think about something here. As many of you who are in this auditorium and in the hearing of this Word of God, who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, his promise is that if you would receive him, he would come and he would make his abode in you. You become like a temple of the Holy Spirit. He would dwell in you, and the Father would dwell in you. I want you to think about that. God's right in here. Inside you. He's in you. And it changes how you think. He changes how you see things. You see differently because of that spirit that now rests in you. The new person can see for the first time the kingdom of heaven. You see, what he said was this: unless a man be born again, he cannot see, he cannot perceive the kingdom of heaven. Now, why is that important? Because we see the world around us, but there's an invisible kingdom. A God that spoke his word and everything that is tangible and real to us came into being. The spiritual brought forth the natural. And in that kingdom, we see that there are forces that work first in God's kingdom for good. But we also see that there's also a demonic kingdom, a kingdom where evil rules, where there's hate and anger and destruction. And we find ourselves now as the children of God in the kingdom of God as, how would I say, here on earth, opposed to that which is against us and against all mankind until the final day of judgment. So we're warriors. Each of us is called as a warrior in the kingdom of God. We didn't come in here to sit in the church. That's a good thing to do on a Sunday morning. I'm glad you're here. But I want you to know that God's called you to be the church. a member of His body. That's what Living Stones is all about. Getting people to see that to begin with, that they are an important part of God's plan. God loves you. He has a place for you in His kingdom. He needs every child. He needs every teenager. He needs every adult. He needs the old folks and the young folks. And they all have a role to play, because in life we go through seasons, and we always find ourselves in another season of life. And in that season, we have to make the most of it, because each season has its own challenges, each and every one. So when you're in that season, you're with God in that season, and you have a purpose in God and for God. And God wants to bless you in that season. Colossians, this is the secret of one of the mysteries of the scripture. Colossians 1:27 says this: to them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery amongst the Gentiles. What's the mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in you. Now, let me just say this. Think of this. This is what I wanted you to focus on. If the Anointed One is in you, He dwells in you, do you have the anointing? Yes, you do. You have the Anointed One in you. Christ lives in you. He lives through you. So you have that anointing. And that anointing brings a lot of things. In the New Testament, we understand it doesn't have to be with oil necessarily, but that anointing comes, and that anointing is by the Holy Spirit. That's how Jesus was anointed. Remember when He went and was baptized by John? John saw that the dove, the Spirit, descend upon Him like a dove and remain on Him. And set Him forth into ministry, went into the wilderness after that, and basically was tempted by the devil in that wilderness, and came back, and His ministry began. So you have the Anointed One in you, therefore you have received the Anointed One. If you have received Him, you are anointed. Now, what does that mean? Well, if the Anointed One lives in you, you have an anointing to do what He called you to do and to succeed at anything you need to do in your season of life. And that anointing is to carry on His work. His work didn't stop when He died on Calvary. His work didn't stop. In fact, it was a beginning now where it was going to multiply throughout all the earth. He was going to send forth His Spirit upon His people, fill them with the Holy Spirit, anoint them, and then they began to work miracles. They began to bring the gospel with power. People were set free. We read of handkerchiefs touching the body of Paul and being brought out, and demons coming out of people. We read of Peter walking in the street and the shadow going over people and people being healed. We read of regular people like Ananias basically laying hands on Paul and having a miracle where he receives his sight. So it was an incredible thing that took place, and we're still anointed, but we don't believe that. You see, we have a problem with faith in these areas because we think of ourselves as just everyday common people. You're not common people. You're an uncommon people. You are the people of God. You are the anointed ones of the Lord. We need all that Jesus has and was anointed to do. We're anointed to do the same thing. We're called to share the good news of the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. Most of us, as you know, suffer from emotional wounds in our lives. How many of you have ever been hurt and it's been a deep hurt in your life? You've been rejected. You've been put aside. You've been betrayed. You have a number of things that have happened in your life, and boy, it hurts. And boy, I tell you what, it gets deep inside of you, and it scars you inside. And the next thing that happens is you begin to, how would I put this, put on a face. You make believe you're okay. You receive the Lord even, and you're thinking, okay, this is good. This is a good start. I'm a new person, and you are a new person. But at the same time, something else happens, and that old stuff just comes back up again. It just kind of comes to the surface, and you find out that you're not as healed as you thought you might have been, but that you're still a hurting person. You're a hurting child. I mean, I don't have a lot of time on this, but I've said it many times. I just remember that person that I was ministering to many years ago. They were in their third marriage. And every time they seemed to get a guy, this was a well-educated woman, had a good job in one of the big tech, high-tech companies in our area. I said to him, what do you do? Why? Where do you find these men? Do you go down the road and look under rocks for them? How do you get these guys? Where do you pick them up from? Well, she told me the story. That she was a Christian. Her dad was a Christian. I met her dad. He was a man of God. He worked at a mill. And we come home from work. He liked to come down and read his paper. And he never paid attention to her when he came home. She was 3 years old. 3 years old. And she took out her coloring book. She colored the best picture that she had, her favorite picture for him. And she brought it to him and said, Daddy, I did this picture for you. And he looked at it, looked down from his paper, looked at it. He said, next time, draw within the lines, color within the lines. From that time on, she was wounded and thought that she would never ever measure up. 3 years old. Be careful how you deal with your children. Be careful what you say. And that put her on a path that led to sexual abuse and all kinds of different things that came into her life from that one simple thing. But you know what? God had healing for her. And she got her life put back together and healed and moving with the Lord. So we all have an inner brokenness. We've experienced that. And we can put the smile on our face. But sometimes we don't want to go back there and deal with it. And Jesus wants us to deal with these deep issues so that we get cleaned up and are able to move forward freely. But it takes some courage to face up to these things. We'd rather not think about it. We'd rather not go back there. We'd rather not deal with it. But yet something happens and we fly off of the handle and we're all upset about something. And what triggered that? What triggered that is the fact that you're not even hearing properly, but you're hearing something that wasn't even said because you're rejected or you're angry. Somebody says something and you jump on them. And you're confrontive. Well, that's a problem too. That's problematic too. That's a problem. It's a bigger problem as being rejected. So too many people are held captive by the fears of their past experiences or shame from the things that have happened to them. Some walk about waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know people like that? They say, gee, things are going good. And they're out there just looking around. What's going to go wrong next? What's going to go wrong? Anybody ever experienced that? Or you know people like that? If you know somebody like that, raise your hand. Well, not you, but we know somebody like that. Okay. We know people like that, right? Yeah, that's good. They need help. God's come to bless us. Look at what Jesus came to do. Notice he didn't come to drop the other shoe. He came to bind up the brokenhearted, set at liberty those that we have, open the sight of, give sight to the blind. And more than that. So this walking around waiting for something wrong to happen, that's no way to live. Christ came to give us liberty, and he sets the people who are in bondage free. More than that, he announces the favorable year of the Lord. That's a year of jubilee. What he is saying is all that stuff that was taken from you, all that stuff that was stolen from you in your life, He is going to restore it. He's going to bring back all of the blessings. He's going to make up for all the things that happened in the past. Do you think He can do that? Do you think that the person who basically spoke to that which was not and it came into being, that He's capable of doing that in you? Well, that's the problem we have. We give it mental assent, but believing is different. Having faith in that, holding fast in that, that's a whole different story, my friends. So, after reading these words that we just read, I'm going to read them again just for the sake of keeping it in your remembrance. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee, of restoration. Then He closed the book. And He gave it back to the attendant. And He sat down. See, somebody held those scrolls. The Word of God was so important. They were rolled up, guys, in a roll. And then they would be rolled out. And if you ever saw the scrolls, one of these scrolls rolled out, it looks pretty complicated, especially if you don't speak Hebrew. And the only real Hebrew I know was a guy that owned a tailor shop in New York some years ago, you know. But seriously, you know, I mean, there's no numbers. You don't know where you look. You got to know the words. You got to be able to read it and find it. So He said to them, He closed the book. He gave it back to the attendant that rolled up that book, took it away. That's why you learn in the books of the Bible. That's how important they are, that a special person had to handle the roll and the books every single Sabbath. And all eyes were on Him in the synagogue. They were fixed on Him. They were looking at this Jesus. He just read this. Something happened in how He read it. And then He said this to them. He began to say this: today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness to Him, and they marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. And they said, notice what they said, is this not Joseph's son? Isn't this Rick's boy? Isn't that Tom's boy over there? I know him. I remember when he was crawling up on the platform during the praise. He just running around the church there, you know, with your kid, Stanarello. I remember that. Yeah, we remember him. You know who his father is? Yeah, we understand that. Yeah, okay. And so what happened was this. They framed him as the hometown boy who they knew, and they couldn't understand that the anointing that was now on him and had been working in him, that he was Messiah. How could he be Messiah? We knew him when he was just a little guy. And he knew what they were thinking. Is this not Joseph's son? He said to them, you will surely say this proverb to me: physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also in your own country, your country, that is in your town. And then he said, assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Now, wrath is anger mixed with fire or violence. And they tried to take him and throw him over the hill on which their city was built. They wanted to throw him over the cliff. But he passed through their midst and he went their way. See, one of the problems that we have is we've met this Jesus as Savior and even as Lord. But the problem comes in that we don't see how big he really is. We don't realize that this Jesus is who he says he is, that he can do what he said he can do. And even worse, even if we believe that and we say he did it, we always wonder if he could do it for us. Because this is a different situation now. Now I'm here, I'm in this situation, and he'll do it for somebody else, but he can't do it for me. You see, it always starts coming down to a matter of Christ, who he is, and what he can do in your life. And he can only do in your life what you will let him do. What you will believe him to do according to his word. That's all. So if you believe and seek the ministry of Christ, first of all, no one's going to throw you over the hill. They may not listen to you, but they're not going to throw you off the cliff. So you're not in danger of dying, at least not right now. So why remain spiritually blind? Listen, not only does God want to do it for you, he wants to do it through you to help other people get out of this bondage. One of the problems with the church is we see these televangelists and we hear about this and we hear about that. And the problem that we're having with all of this is that it's always someplace else and somebody else. You are the answer. You are the church. You are the anointed people of God. You are the anointed ones because Christ lives in you. You'll never see anybody healed, never anybody set free unless you pray for them. Well, what if I pray for them and nothing happens? Pray again. Well, what if I pray again and nothing happens? Don't quit. Just get closer to God. Ask him what's going on. He said it. He'll do it. But we have to step out a little bit here and stop being cowards. And stop always putting things off to other people. Or saying, well, he can't do that. I've been a Christian for so many years. Notice what happened here. When Jesus told them what happened? The people who weren't in Christ, the people who weren't Jews, the people who didn't have the law, the people who didn't have the fact that I don't remember if the law was even in effect at that time. But the people who basically were the people of God didn't get healed. But the people who weren't got healed because they believed. Does that make any sense? I know as a pastor, one of the hardest things for me to do, or was one of the hardest things for me to do, was to receive. Why is that? Because we get so used to ministering to others. And some of you have been in ministry here, and you've ministered to others for years and years. And so what happens to you is you're used to ministering, but it's hard for you to receive. I don't know why that is. It's the lie of the devil. It's the craziest thing I ever heard. But I want you to start rethinking some things. The Anointed One lives in you. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are anointed. If you haven't received Christ, you can receive him. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, you can ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus went to do. They were saved by believing in Christ. By faith through grace, we're saved. And we get a new spirit in us when God transforms us. But listen, there's more. And one thing about this Jesus Christ, however you know him, he's bigger than you could imagine. Bigger than I can imagine. way beyond that. So I'm saying to you, keep it simple. Start focusing on what Jesus did. And then just take a hold of that. Let God put faith in your heart. And then act upon it. You are the anointed ones because the anointed one dwells in you. Can you say amen this morning? Please stand.